an accuser, a traducer, a slanderer, one who speaks evil. As he says, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which did accuse them before our God day and night. He is like the prosecuting attorney against God's elect before God's throne. That's one of his roles. He also is the enemy of God's people and the enemies of our souls. He was created perfect, but part of that perfection was within him evil. Iniquity was found in him. He was perfect in all his ways till iniquity was found in him. It was hiding there inside of him. Satan was created with iniquity. People immediately are going to say, well, what are you saying? That God took a good angel, a perfectly wonderful, beautiful angel, and then corrupted it? Absolutely not. He created an angel which outwardly and in many ways appeared to be absolutely perfect, but also had something evil within it. Now, he could have avoided making that angel and made a different angel with no evil in it. And this is what you have to understand about the potter and the clay. It's this idea in the Bible about the potter and the clay. God is the potter, and we are the clay. And whatever he makes, that is what we are. If he made something different, that wouldn't be us. That would be something different. And so if for Satan to exist at all, as he does, he had to be created the way he was. Otherwise, it would have been some other enemy or some other friend. But it wouldn't be Satan as we know him or as he perceives himself. As it is written in the book of the Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 4, that God created all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the evil day. And even Satan, the devil, the serpent, the dragon, as he's called in many different places, he also has a purpose and was created by God for to serve a purpose. He's a very corrupt and evil entity, desiring the downfall of God and of man, you know, of Jesus Christ. He's tempting him. He dares tempt him. God created someone like that because he wanted someone like that. It serves a purpose. And I suppose some would say, well, what possible purpose could it serve? As it seemed fit to God, as it seemed good to him, he made the world, and he made us in it. And desiring to bring some sons to glory, he purposed a certain way that that would happen. And this world is the living out of that purpose. Now, if we don't like to accept it, if we reject it, that's what's in us to do. But if you have it in it, in you to receive it and to believe in the truth as it is written in God's word, then you are not far from the kingdom of heaven and you may inherit eternal life. But we must believe. We must believe and go on in faith because it is the sign of God's grace upon us. When he opens our ears to hear him, it is his grace on us. That we are able to hear and receive it and bring forth fruit. Verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Under God's authority, Satan has this authority. In the book of Revelation, when it talks about the dragon and the beast having power, it's always this word in Greek, exousios, which means authority. He has power. As is written here also, power is authority, exousios. There's dunamis, which where we get like dynamite and dynamic. It is and kratos, which are other kinds of ideas of power, of innate power and of strength. But this is a sense of power as authority. I have authority. It's delegated power. It's power that is given to me from something higher. And so the devil has authority to give the kingdoms of the world to whoever he wills. Because God, you know, and say, well, then how does God keep track of all this? How does God's will not then get overrided by Satan's will? Because Satan's will is bound up under God's will. As it is written in the writings of Paul, that the earthly rulers are ordained of God. But often they're put there by Satan. Don't be mistaken. Just because God ordains earthly rulers doesn't mean that they are men whom he is pleased with. More often than not, it would be the opposite case. And Satan's saying, I can give this to you. See, God put in Satan a will to do certain things. And no matter how much Satan would like to do things that make God angry, let's say, I'm just being hypothetical. Whatever he would do to try to frustrate God's purposes would only serve God's purposes, ultimately. Because he can't look into to know what God would not want him to do. You know, he can't second guess God. So he does according to his will. And that's just what the Lord wants him to do. I say, but Paul, the way you're talking about this makes it seem like God's almost evil or something. That God almost approves of Satan. It's not that he approves. You know, it's like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God hates sin, but God created sin. Oh, Paul, now you're even going crazier because you're saying now God created sin. Well, we know God created evil because Isaiah chapter 45 says so. It also says we know that God created Satan and Satan is evil. God created evil and God also created sin. How did God create sin? All you got to do is read Genesis chapter 3. And there it is. God created a tree that when you eat it, causes you to be conscious of evil and good. Your eyes are open. A tree that imparts knowledge of good and evil. And that word evil is the same word in the Hebrew that was used to say the men of Sodom were very wicked. It's a very wicked knowledge it gives. It gives knowledge of wickedness. Not only that, he didn't just create this tree that imparts knowledge of wickedness. He also made it look good. Made it look tasty. So that when Eve would look on it, she looked on it and it was to be desired. And not only that, right there, you see Eve has in her desires. Why would she look at that tree and have it be desirable? Why didn't she look at that tree and say, that tree looks disgusting. It smells bad. I don't think that looks good to eat at all. I'll tell you why. Because God wanted her to eat that tree. I don't get it. Why did he say don't eat it? To make it sinful. Because she had no conscience of sin, so he said don't eat it. I'll give you a commandment. Because we need our conscience to know good and evil without a commandment. They had no conscience of evil. Now they had lust and all kinds of other stuff, but they didn't know that was evil. All they had was God saying, don't do it. That made it sinful. And God bringing all those circumstances together, he created sin. God set it up. He made it happen.